You know, I find it interesting. Obviously, you do a lot of work. You watch a lot of game film. You sit there with a number of people, I'm sure, you know, anticipate which players are going to go where and how they're going to fall. But isn't it hard sometimes to assess that, knowing that there's some teams that value best player on the board, and there's some teams that value not only best player but also need? So how much, when you're kind of assessing where you think certain guys are going to go, how much thought process is put into that, or the inside knowledge of how an organization thinks?
Yeah, it's a great question. If you look at what the Giants have done through the years, always seemingly grabbing the best player, and other teams always seem to just kind of fill out their roster from a need standpoint. When we do our mock drafts, we try to do it from what if we were the GM, and kind of get away from the trends that the teams have had. And the, you know, the goal there is to say, look, this is who we think is the best player for this team at that spot, and I think there's value in at least, you know, seeing, you know, what's going to be available and where we value those players. So I think it's easier for us to just say this is what we think of the player rather than trying to get into the team's head and predict.
Well, Nassib, I think we should start where you began. You said there were a handful of guys in this draft that you think are truly elite,
yep,
that you believe are the cream of the crop. Who are they?
Well, it starts with Joey Bosa from Ohio State. We think he's the best edge rusher in the entire draft. Great run stopper. He can get after the passer. DeForest Buckner from Oregon. 3-4 defensive end type, but interior disruptor. We love Jared Goff at QB. You know, I think there's different opinions around the league. Hand size is going to be a big issue for him this week. That's the big story. But we think he's a top-notch player. Miles Jack from UCLA. We continue to move up our board the more we watch him. Linebacker. And then you got Laremy Tunsil from Ole Miss, offensive tackle, that classic left tackle prospect. And the last guy I think I really like is Jalen Ramsey from Florida State. Versatile, can play some corner, can play some safety. But I look at those six players, I feel pretty comfortable with them at the top, and then it's just wide open after that.
And I imagine Jalen Smith would be in that group if his knee was healthy, correct?
Yeah, he's close there. I'd say he's probably more of a top 10 to 15 talent.
Interesting.
Even when healthy, the difference between him and Miles Jack, they're both extremely athletic. They both bring so much coverage ability to a defense. But Miles Jack will play the run a little bit better than Jalen Smith, who's more of a, you know, run to the ball type of linebacker, not really going to take on blocks.
So, I mean, like you said, really a lot of talent coming out, especially in the first round on the defensive side of the ball. But some of these guys dealing, coming off of knee injuries, knee situations, which actually, you know, whatever organization, their medical staff is going to play a really big role, I would imagine, especially some of the linebackers. But also you've got some top-notch talent that unfortunately has had some off-the-field issues. You know, and so what comes into play, obviously, is the interviews that are going to be taking place at night, right? Kind of take us there and what, who's interviewing these guys? I understand that there's a few organizations that bring in, like, psychologists and stuff like that. How, where would you value the interview process and getting to know a lot of these players who, again, have some off-the-field issues compared to the 40 and the cone and the vertical and all that?
It's another great question where I think, you know, we don't get that information, so it's hard for us to put that into our evaluations. But for teams, it's huge. I mean, I talked to a personnel director last night who said, you know, we can essentially take one character risk per draft. So, you know, we took one, and there was another guy that we really wanted to draft, but we couldn't draft him because you can't have, you know, a bunch of guys essentially becoming busts. So I think teams, you know, the stuff that goes on at the hotels, those one-on-one interviews. Noah Spence from Ohio State's a perfect example. He's a top 10 talent edge rusher in a class that doesn't have a lot of explosive edge rushers that can do what he does. He got kicked out of Ohio State. And again, as another evaluator told me, you got to earn that to get kicked out of Ohio State. You know, it's not just a one-strike thing over there. It's over and over and over again. He screwed up. So he has to answer those questions at the hotel. And to be honest, it only takes five teams to keep him on the board for him to become a first-round pick, but it is a huge part of the process, and every team treats it a little differently.
Now, the interviews are important for him. You mentioned Jared Goff, the measurements on the hand size. What other players are you really focusing on the next few days in terms of either measurements or performance that you think could really significantly alter what teams think of them after they've seen them obviously play on tape all year in college sports?
Yeah, one of the guys is Jason Spriggs from Indiana, offensive tackle. And you know, I'm not huge on the offensive tackle class beyond Laremy Tunsil, Ronnie Stanley, and maybe Jack Conklin from Michigan State. But Spriggs graded well for us. He's a good player at Indiana. and they think and people seem to think that he's going to run a good 40, do well in his agility drills, and have a Lane Johnson type of combine. If you remember Lane Johnson a few years ago with the Eagles was the best athlete amongst all offensive tackles here. People are expecting Spriggs to do that and either become a late first round or even middle of the first round type of player, because the tackle position always seems to get pushed up in the draft. So I look at Spriggs as a guy that's going to quote-unquote win the week, and then maybe a guy like Will Fuller from Notre Dame who might be a one-trick pony type of wide receiver. He can get deep, get behind defenses. He might be the most explosive receiver in the draft. Not the best, most polished receiver, but if he runs in the 4.3s, some team's going to maybe love him at the back end of the first or into the second round.
First of all, in regard to Goff, for those that are watching, what came out in regard to his hand? Measurements too small, too concerned, so therefore maybe some concerns going to a team that has to deal with bad weather. That's a big concern with him now?
It's bad weather plus fumbles. And, the hand size thing, I laugh at it, but there might be some merit to it. Teams generally have a cutoff, whether it's 9-inch hands or whatever their cutoff is, and they say if there's anything below that, these guys tend to have fumble issues and perhaps that bad weather. Can you throw the ball in bad weather? And if you look at Goff, he doesn't have a great arm. It's not a cannon. The thing I love about him is pocket presence, and he fires through his reads, and he does a lot of good quarterbacking things. But from a physical standpoint, doesn't have a great arm. So they kind of tie that to hand size a little bit. Plus, he's had games where he's had a number of fumbles, and I think those are the types of things that scare NFL teams when you talk about the measurements.
Kurt Warner had very, very small hands. That was a big reason why you saw him have success in St. Louis with the Rams, because he played indoors.
And he also wore that glove, too.
And then, of course, playing in Arizona, where they really could control things. But and I wanted to bring up the quarterback situation, because typically, whenever we see trades happen during the draft, it's because teams are, they covet that quarterback or that one skilled position player. It seems to me, in talking to you and, of course, doing the research that we have, that it's more defensive-oriented. There's a lot more explosiveness and excitement and talent coming out on the defensive side of the ball. So are you anticipating teams that are in need of big-time defensive players to maybe make a move up? I mean, do you see any trading going on as we get, as when the draft starts?
I would say the trading is going to go – it's going to be more QB-centric. If somebody does love Goff and they have to move up and get him, I think they make a move. If someone loves Wentz and Wentz can wow you with his arm and his – it's Carson Wentz, North Dakota State, huge arm, athleticism, so much upside, so much to go. I think it's going to be if someone loves those QBs, they'll go get him. From a defensive standpoint, we've been debating this internally. It's almost to the point where there's so much defensive talent.
You can wait, right?
Right. Do you want to move up, or do you wait and say, you know what, we're still going to get a good player? If you need an interior defensive lineman, I call it, it's like 32 flavors. You can get any type of defensive tackle or five technique or 3-4 defensive end, whatever you want to call it. There are so many of them available in the draft. You might be able to wait, and there's going to be good interior defensive linemen going in the second and third round.
And I think as you focus in on the Giants at 10, they'll be in that situation. They'll have a choice of a number of different types of defensive player, whether you're talking about, Jalen Smith, the linebacker, assuming Miles Jack is gone. Do you like Reggie Ragland from Alabama? You got the Ohio State kid that runs around. Then you have the defensive lineman. Give me a handful of players that you think could be in play at 10 on the defensive side of the ball, if you think that's where the Giants would focus, which I think is obvious based on what happened last year, and some guys that fans should keep an eye on this weekend that you think could be a target for the Giants at 10.
Yeah, I think given the fact that they need defense and that's the strength of the draft, starting at defensive end, there's Noah Spence, again, with the off-field stuff, if all of that checks out, so to speak. He's a guy, one of the best edge rushers in the draft. Shaq Lawson from Clemson, not as explosive, but a good run stopper, kind of style-wise a little bit like JPP, so he might be a guy that the Giants could look at. Defensive interior, there's a guy named Andrew Billings from Baylor who's probably going to bench, 40 reps or something this week and blow some people away from a strength standpoint, but there's a number of different nose tackle options there. I don't know if Billings would be great at that there. And then if the Giants get away from their old linebacker, preset measurements where they need a guy that's 6'4", 250. If they're willing to go beyond that, Jalen Smith, Miles Jack, if he's there. You mentioned Ragland. I don't love Ragland that high, but he's a solid overall player. I think they might be able to get a guy named Scooby Wright from Arizona in the second round, who's more of a run stopper type of guy. But if Miles Jack or Jalen Smith is there, the Giants have never really invested in that linebacker core from an athleticism standpoint. That would be a huge change for them, and maybe a welcomed one, because the linebackers have been pretty much the weak spot in that defense for a few years now.
Where do you think Jack and Smith fit in a 4-3 defense? Are they best outside? Can Jack move into that middle linebacker spot? Is he physical enough? How do you see them fitting in a 4-3 defense?
Yeah, so I look at Jalen Smith as more of the weak side guy that needs to be kept clean. But, man, when he runs to the ball, he is so quick, accelerates, he's so fast. Miles Jack, I think, could play outside or inside. I like him as a run-to-the-ball type of guy. He has that similar type of athleticism. He had our top coverage grade at PFF last year in 2014 when he played the full season. And then he came in 2015 and showed that he can take on blockers. And I think he could play that middle linebacker role because he is not afraid of contact. He gets in there, and he's going to be develop as a run-stopping type of player. I think he could develop into one of the better three-down linebackers in the entire league. And to be honest, in the league now, I think a three-down linebacker is more valuable than ever because...
Look at the Broncos last year.
The best teams have the great linebackers. Luke Kuechly, the Broncos, the Patriots have two of them. The best defenses have a guy that can stay out there on third down, rush the passer, play coverage, play the run. So I think Jack and Jalen, those guys, their value is higher than ever.
All right, so we talked about possibly trading up. What about because if you're a team like the Giants whose main focus is defense, knowing that there's so much talent out there, maybe when you get to that 10th pick, you look across your board and you value your 10th through, let's say, 13 or your 10th through 15 because there's so much talent, do you think we're going to see a lot of trading down?
I think teams want to. I think what we've seen, I've always been a fan of the trade down. I'm a big fan of get as many picks as you can. You might not hit on everybody, but if you bring in 10 players instead of 7, you've got better odds. I'm a big fan of the trade down, especially in this draft. Like I said, it's easy to maybe find those 5-6 players at the top, but the next group of players, if you can get more picks, you're going to get a good player whether you're drafting at 10 or drafting at 15 or drafting at 20. So I'm a big fan of moving down, accumulate more picks, and add more depth to the roster.
We're joined by Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus, John Schmelk, Nita Marks. Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Steve, I know DeForest Buckner is a favorite of you guys over at Pro Football Focus, but does he fit in a 4-3 defense?
It's not his ideal fit. I mean, when he played at Oregon, he played head up over the tackle quite a bit, so that's more of a 3-4 type of look. I love when he lines up head up because he's 6'7", but he can play low. He can move people in the running game. He gets double teams. He's not great, but he is a disruptor in the running game. Can he play a little bit of that three technique. In the 4-3? He could play a little bit. Could he play off the edge? Not ideal. I think you rush him off the edge every now and again to just use his unique length and size, but I think a 3-4 team's probably his best fit.
Given his body type, is Chris Canty a good compare, where he was a 3-4 D tackle with Dallas and he came to the Giants and he did play that 3 technique a little bit?
Yeah, Canty's one I hadn't thought of before, but now that you mention it, he is a guy that did similar role. The guy we've come up with is Calais Campbell from Arizona.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Similar size, Buckner's probably not as strong as Campbell, mm-hmm. but they win and lose the same way. They get high, they're 6-7, and they get pushed off the ball a little bit, but they also make a lot of plays.
Is there going to be one guy that just might fall? Kind of like what we saw with Williams and the Jets last year, right? And you're watching him fall, and you're like, somebody's got to take this guy now. Is that Buckner for you guys?
I think it's either Buckner or Bosa. We slot them in 1 and 3. Bosa number 1 to Tennessee and Buckner number 3 to San Diego, which I think might be the best fit in the draft because San Diego's so weak on the D-line. I don't know that the NFL values them exactly the way that we do. I think Tunsil might end up going number 1, and then you've got all this QB stuff going on. Bosa might be available at 4, 5, or 6, and then we think he's a very good all-around player, and if he does drop there, one of those teams at 4, 5, 6, they're going to get a good player.
Yeah, I think Bosa's interesting because you look at his college production, his college tape, what you guys do, he's phenomenal. He's clearly the best college defensive lineman on the field. But then the NFL types try to project his upside, and they say, well, you know what? He doesn't dip that shoulder. He's not super fast off the edge. Is he even a right end? Or does he have to play left end where he's going to, stop the run as well as get after the quarterback? Where do you think that's going to meet in the middle, the projected upside with the athleticism, with his clear ability to play the game at Ohio State?
I think if he's Jadeveon Clowney, if he has the same production but he looks like Jadeveon Clowney, he's a lock number 1. And it's to your point, they want to see that explosion. And that's not the type of player he is. He's a guy that's so strong. I think he immediately steps in and becomes an elite run defender for whatever that's worth in the passing NFL. But a guy that can get after the QB, he just doesn't do it in that explosive, flashy way. He does it by winning with strength, winning with his hands. The guy we've compared him to recently is Cameron Jordan of the Saints, who, maybe he's not a top overall pick type of guy, Cameron Jordan, but if you really dig down into his production, great against the run and an above average pass rusher, He's a pretty good guy. And the other guy we've looked at is Michael Bennett from the Seahawks from a production standpoint. I think Bosa can set the edge as an end, kick inside, beat some guards, even win off the edge at defensive end. I just think there's so much versatility to his game. Even though it doesn't always look as flashy, I think he's going to be a great player.
Before we let you go, I'm curious, like looking back to last year's draft, was there a guy that you were really, really high on? Maybe he went a little bit later than you anticipated, but then really had a great freshman rookie season this past year. Who was that guy for you guys?
We have our guy, Henry Anderson from the Colts, and we were pushing him as a first-round pick. I don't think anybody had him, and it was a similar thing. He was just this long defensive end from Stanford, wasn't flashy, wasn't explosive, incredibly productive. He actually outproduced Leonard Williams on a snap-for-snap basis last year in the Pac-12. We said, this guy's a first-round pick. He came out, went to the third round to the Colts, and he came out and was in the Defensive Rookie of the Year race early on before he got hurt. Excellent against the run and a disruptive player. I think Henry Anderson's the guy that we've looked at and said, you know what, our system really found him.
Two quickies before I say goodbye from me, Steve. One, Laquon Treadwell. If you put him in the mix with the wide receivers from last year, Amari Cooper, Kevin White, and Devontae Parker, where does he fit in that group? Rank them 1 through 4 for me.
He's at the bottom. I like Cooper. I like Cooper, Parker, White, and then Treadwell. I'm a huge Parker fan. I think he's going to develop for Miami. But with Treadwell, we're not as high as everyone else is. He doesn't separate very well, and he's supposed to be that Alshon Jeffrey contested catch type of guy. He just doesn't do it consistently enough. He'll flash it, but he's not a physical downfield presence like he's supposed to be. We actually have him more in the 20 range on our big board, where I know everybody has him going top 10.
So who's your number one wide receiver? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Who's your number one wide receiver then?
Coleman from Baylor. Okay. So he's smaller. We've compared him to Steve Smith, feisty, speed. You know, he just runs away from defenders, can win the contested catch. He's great before the catch, after the catch. We like Corey Coleman. And then Leonte Carew from Rutgers is another guy that we're really high on.
Now, Coleman's not going to work this weekend, right? He's not going to do all the drills. Is that correct?
I haven't heard recently.
I'm not sure. There's one wide receiver that's not doing it. It might be him. Second question. We haven't touched on the corners yet. And with the Giants having just really one corner under contract and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, who's your top corner on the board? And would he be in the mix, you think, around number 10?
Yeah, I think that our guys will be, and we're debating between a few guys right now. We're big on Vernon Hargraves and Mackenzie Alexander, who we're hearing is dropping quite a bit because of size issues and perhaps some off-field stuff. Hargraves and Alexander are similar because they're really athletic, but they're small.
Only 5'11", right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think those guys are valuable in the NFL, but the NFL is looking for the tall corner that can move, and that guy's William Jackson from Houston, who I think is going to blow it up here in the combine this year. He's 6'1". He's got movement skills. I think by the end of the week, he's going to be a locked first-round type of guy.
I lied. I've got one more.
Yeah, go ahead.
Von Bell, from what I understand, from Ohio State. Now, apparently, Giants could be in the same situation as they were last year, where this is a guy that has first-round talent but might not be drafted in the first round, could be there in the second. Is that somebody that you think the Giants could grab in the second and come in and play safety?
I could see it in the second. You know, I don't love the safety class. I'm still looking. The NFL hasn't developed a great free safety in years. I'm still looking for just a guy that could play that center field role. There aren't a whole lot of guys.
And Eric Berry and Earl Thomas class, that's really the last two guys, right?
It's really the last time we've seen the NFL draft and develop a really good free safety. So I look at Bell. He was inconsistent at Ohio State, but he's got the five-star type of pedigree. He's very athletic. I think NFL teams are going to want to work with him. We just don't see enough on tape to warrant a first-round pick. Maybe he sneaks into the second. We still have a little bit more work to do on him, but he wasn't, you know, great on a down-to-down basis at Ohio State.
Steve, great stuff. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
I sat here
enjoy the combine.
Notes.
Hey, I'm here all week. Whatever you need.
Pro football.